I really want to bring some special spotlight here, Brad. I don't want anybody to miss this. Deep into the article, you talk about what we also need to see in order to become effective in our praying about physical situations and overcoming physical challenges, including what we do with healing power and spiritual healing, is that the one who Jesus referred to as Mammon is the God over the physical realm. Now, okay, now this is really important and why I want to shine that spotlight. If he is the God over the physical realm, and I reside in a physical body, and from time to time I have ailments or sickness or disease, well, how do I beat this guy? What the heck am I supposed to do? He's a God, I'm just me.
Wow, that's a powerful question. I wish everybody would ask it. And don't get your answer from me. I'll help you get the answer if you're sincere with wanting to know that. But I don't think this ought to be for a public broadcast, so to speak. If anybody listening in right now, for crying out loud, you have an email. Go to your email me and tell me what your thoughts are, and let's get into a discussion. Because it's going to be individual. I mean, these things are tricky.
Oh, I see. So what you're saying here is that the route that, or the access point, or the window, in, as like my metaphor at the beginning of our podcast, the window is different in everybody's house.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And if you've got people that don't even believe, you know, it's not my purpose. I think I said that in 4D. It's not my purpose to argue or educate people. To even get people to believe in demons. If you don't want to believe in demons, fine, don't. You obviously do.
Well, it seems like a pretty dangerous practice to not to. Do you believe that fire can burn? Well, yeah. Do you believe that when you get in your car, you might get into an accident? How many of our listeners do up their seatbelt and yet arrive safely at their destination time after time after time? Well, the point of the seatbelt is once you're aware of the knowledge that you're in danger, you can protect yourself properly.
Wow, good point.
So,
that's another thing that used to be so popular. This is funny because I was invited to speak to a denominational conference down in the South on the putting on the whole armor of God. I don't know if you remember, that's another thing that's passé now. That was, everybody was learning the verses, putting on the whole armor of God, you know, and learning what the breastplate was and learning what the helmet was. And
sure, I had the teaching myself.
Pardon?
I had the teaching myself. I thought it was excellent.
Absolutely. Of course, what I did is I blew it all away at the conference and said, you know, it's time you began to pick up your offensive weapons. And I got this on the floor while I was fasting and praying to go down and speak, that I was told not to speak on putting on the armor of God because that's defensive and it's too late for defense. It's time for, you better, you know, the tanks are coming. You better get something that's gonna kill and maim. And I wrote a thing called the bazooka. Did you ever read that by any chance?
I believe I did, and it was extremely encouraging, to say the least.
And lift that up off of one of the other sites or direct them to that site, because you better understand what you're dealing with in this arena. Everybody's talking about, these are the last days. Well, yeah, they've been the last days for 2,000 years, and they're going to be the last days for as long as we're around here. But you better understand there's a big, big, big battle coming. But the real thing is there's a war going on right now, and most people are getting slaughtered, and they don't even understand from, you know, who the enemy is.
You know, recently I had the good pleasure to read a book by an evangelical Christian. I believe it's Eldridge. His last name is Eldridge, and the book is called Wild at Heart. And while don't get me wrong, I'm not about promoting everyone's books here. But I got to tell you, out of 9 chapters, he devotes 2 of them about the battle. And he's pretty clear on it, that it's not a battle where we put on our football helmet or batting helmet or anything like that. It's about the real battle, and it's the spiritual battle. 2 out of 9 chapters in this book are devoted to this topic alone. So I would suggest that there are many people who today, because the book is quite recent, take this as a very serious issue. My question is, do they actually go into it seriously and deeply enough to equip people with what they need to go to, or what they need to do to fight?
Yeah, that's a question you asked me a while ago, and I'm, you know, we've been really getting into it here in the last two or three articles and the last two or three podcasts. It's going to cause interference. It always does. But you're ready for the fight. I'm ready for the fight. The blood of Jesus really does cover all this thing. That's not just some kind of religious palliative. That's part of the bazooka. It's part of our offensive weapons.
Yes. Yeah,
the words of our testimony in the blood of the Lamb. And unless you're equipped, you might as well go sit on your church pew and listen to the beautiful music and listen to the lovely half-hour sermon, because that's where you can be. And you can say, oh, I have peace. Well, you may have peace, but it's not the peace that's going to get you anywhere in the kingdom.
Right. So that's what it's about, isn't it?
Pardon?
Well, it's about kingdom currency, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah, so the kingdom currency is, I think, what this statement that you make almost at the very end of your article here, an instruction you gave to someone who was in need of release or freedom from demonic involvement, and you say that the critical element in her case, and I'm not saying it's that way with everybody, is that she repeat, I want God's will, no matter what the cost.
Yeah, that was a doctor who asked me to do a consult, as she called it, when she was convinced that she was had multiple training. She was an MD and a naturopathic and something else, a very, very intelligent woman who wasn't even much of a believer, but she knew that I had this special power, she thought, over what she referred to as entities and spirits of what she meant. She knew them. She understood it. She saw it when nothing worked in the physical, when all of her training failed, she was always convinced it was a spirit.
Yeah.
And it always was, and we get rid of it on the spot.
Right.
And the fun part of that one was she, when that girl, the 15-year-old girl, as I recall, the doctor was healed also. Wild story.
Oh, Brad, I got to tell you, you don't know how true what you're saying is ringing in my ears. It's just amazing. You know, when I started this journey of the Seven Secrets with you, one of the things that you asked me to do or suggested that I do on a regular basis was more, I want more faith. I want more faith. And the reason why I wanted more faith in this particular instance was I have a muscle that is locked up in me, and it's preventing me from doing something I love, and it's called going for a jog. And many people probably can't relate to that, but for me, it's a great deal of pleasure. And so I did what your instructions were. I prayed, and I kept hearing over and over that I've received my healing. And I have already been to the naturopath, the doctor, the physiotherapist, the chiropractor, the acupuncturist, everyone I can talk to solve this problem, and I have not been able to solve it so far. But I tell you, the key you just handed me, my friend, is this. If I went to all of those people, and I hear clearly from God that I've already received my healing, then there's only one source of this problem. And I'm telling you, today that source goes. Enough is enough.
Well, that's it. And let me tell you the key. The key was what you just said, because the key was for that young girl. I just told her, I said, you say it after me, and if you can't say it, then you tell me, and we'll talk about that. But
here's my declaration. Are you ready? I want God's will in this situation, whatever the cost.
Give me one that'll really, really clear the way for everyone.
Well, hold on.
I want God's will unto death.
Unto death?
What? Ryan, are you afraid?
Afraid? Well, I'm not really looking forward to death at this moment in time. I wouldn't say it's something that keeps me up at night, but I gotta tell you, it's not something I seek after.
Listen, this is so important. I'm going to interrupt you.
Okay.
Here's the deal. What did Jesus say? He said, God only wants the best for you, abundant, healthy life. The enemy is the one who's going to put you to death. That's his only purpose, is to kill your body and to destroy your faith. So then, who is on your side in this? You're not going to die, but the key is you can get rid of your fear of death once and for all right now by saying, and we can say it together, I want God's will, even if it meant to die. But that's not God's purpose. And I know that, and you know that. Think about it. It's not his purpose. So what? Satan wants to kill us and will engineer ways for us to do ourselves in and put ourselves in situations that will kill us ultimately. But that's not God's will. Got it?
Got it. So here's what I got.
Declaring this, you got power.
Let me throw you the ball back. I want God's will, whatever that is, even unto death. Let it be known by all.
And do you see it? Do you feel it? Do you understand it?
Yeah, I understand very clearly that I have nothing to fear.
Isn't that exciting?
Yes, it's very exciting.
I had a guy in an email exchange just last night who got free over the same issue. I wish I had the power to do all this and all that, and so I threw that at him in his context. You know, we're dealing in your context right now, but in his context, and he got through it. Because he came back and he said, I did it. I have declared I want it. And he declared it to me in writing that he wanted God's will no matter what the cost. That every demon is subject to the will of God. But if we as human beings put ourselves subject to the will of Satan, which we do, and mostly we do it unconsciously because we're out of touch with the source, but if we are in touch, if we are connected, they have no power over us, because Jesus has given us authority over all the negative works of the enemy. And that's exactly what it means in the original language. Diseases and everything else. People say, oh, well, wait a minute, it's on the microscope, you can see the yeah, nah, that's what happens as a result. But I guarantee you, it got started by spirits. Last podcast, didn't I start blabbering on about my psychiatrist friend, daughter, who, by the way, was healed of diabetes?
Yes.
Okay, and so it was in that context, because he was talking about multiple personality disorder syndrome, and he saw my reaction, and he wanted to know what I knew about it. And anyway, he said, I hope I'm not repeating what I already said earlier.
I think you are, Brad. I think you are.
Okay, well, I'll get off of it then.
Yeah, get off of it. Let's just say that the young lady received her healing from something that you can see in a microscope and shows up in your blood work and so on and so forth, and that's called diabetes, and it's not real.
There we go. Good. Thank you. You did it again. You always wind up saying the right thing. Why do you interview me? Maybe I should interview you, but I don't have the brains to interview you.
Well, I think the difference here is I actually get to absorb what you're doing, what you're writing here, and you actually have to put it out, so.
Yeah, well, I just transcribe it anyway, so half the time I don't even understand what I'm writing at the time.
So fortunately for me, before I call you, I get a chance to ponder on it. And ponder
well,
I do. So Brad, let's just hope and believe that our listeners will ponder very seriously on this.
Do more than ponder. You know, let's get involved in some. I'm going to say something. People have mentioned this to me. My wife mentioned it to me. She says it's almost like when you two talk that Ryan goes through a process, and she says that's it with everybody with you. You know, she says, well, you know, why don't more people get involved? And they can, by email. I've done it for years, and they can be healed by email.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. Email will work. As long as it works, you can help people get results on their own, I'm quite sure that that's more than satisfactory. So I want to say thank you, because you've helped me get some incredible results over the last several secrets, and let's keep going. What about part five? I'm excited even more so. I tell you, I get more excited every time we talk.
You have the same effect on me. I mean, it's just wherever two or three are gathered in my name, you know, and that means in his will, in his spirit, in his commitment to living in God, you know, there he is. And so this isn't just our energy. This is the energy of the source.
Well, great. And I'm glad that the source participated in what we're doing today. So thank you, Brad. I'll give you a call after I receive the next part.
All righty. Thanks so much, Ryan.
Thank you. Bye.